You're watching ThoughtCast. I'm Jenny Atiyah, and I'm at the Harvard Bookstore in Cambridge, Massachusetts, which is celebrating the 10th anniversary of New York Review Books Classics, a book series devoted to the discovery of non-commercial literature that might otherwise escape our notice. But it also rediscovers such works as the Journal of Henry David Thoreau, a very long and rarely read notebook about his thoughts and experiences. Let's ask Edwin Frank, the editor of the series, what makes Thoreau's journal a classic?
Well, Thoreau is in the way that we use the word classic these days, is a kind of classic. He's not, I don't think there's much anybody contesting, particularly that Thoreau should be considered a second-rank writer. He's a foundational writer for American literature. The interesting thing about the journal is that the journal is foundational for Thoreau's writing, and yet, because it is so long, it has really been unavailable in a form that readers could begin to approach it.
What is different about your edition? Obviously, it has been published before, I believe in 1906, mm-hmm. and again in 1962, if I've got
Dover,
that right?
Dover had it in print. Well, the difference is that the journal, though it has been published in its entirety, in the past when it has been, when sections of it have been published, or selections, they have tended to pick out little tidbits, wise sayings, apothegms, little bits of description. Nobody until Damien Searles, who has edited this this version for us, has really tried to suggest the entire the course of the journal, the cresting wave, if you were, of the whole of the book as a whole, and that Damien has tried to do, and I think he's done a beautiful job.
Thoreau started the journal when he was 20. Mm-hmm. In 1837, I believe, and he kept it up almost until he died. Mm-hmm. What is the narrative arc of the story? What is the story behind the journal?
I wouldn't say, finally, that it has a traditional narrative arc, which is one of the things that makes it interesting. Thoreau led a relatively reclusive life, and his actual interests were perhaps even more reclusive than the life he led. That is, he worked, he had encounters with the villagers, and so on, but in fact, the journal is overwhelmingly an account of his encounters with nature. It is full of episodes or episodic interests. There are, for example, there's the episode that where Thoreau almost does burn down a wood. There are various animals that Thoreau gets interested in and brings home in some cases to look after before releasing.
He's very interested in turtle eggs.
Turtle eggs, yes.
And frogs.
Frogs, the squirrel. There's actually not, the squirrels, I think, are less present in our edition, but squirrels also interested in. And then he's interested in places and the weather. So in a certain way, the journal is finally about nature and the weather and Thoreau's walking amongst them, though certain kinds of labor are also involved.
Thoreau sharpened pencils or made pencils for a living, is that right?
He did. His family had various businesses in Walden, which he participated in. What is, I think, also interesting is that Thoreau was a very, very fine writer indeed. And though we have a sense of that from Walden, Walden is such an artifact, so worked up, that it's interesting to see in the journal a more improvisational side of Thoreau. Even though the journal itself was actually worked and revised and reworked and so on.
Well, that leads me to my next question.
Yeah.
This journal was obviously something that he thought was private, but mm-hmm. he would excerpt from it, mm-hmm. take passages and put them into his published works. Mm-hmm. Do you know if he ever really did intend it to be published? He did revise it, as you say, when he was older.
It's unlikely that he wanted the journal as such to be published. He was, however, working on a thing called Calendar, which was a sort of ongoing chronicle of the seasons, which was even more intimately related to the journal than any of the books that he excerpted from it, which are books of travel and indeed Walden to some degree. However, he was very much carefully setting the journal in order in the last months of his life when he knew he was dying.
The journal stops just short of his death, several months mm-hmm. short. I wish mm-hmm. he had kept it up. I wish he had written about his death. In the end of the journal, he's talking about kittens and new life. It's an interesting way to end.
Well, it has, I think, a very beautiful last line of, "Thus each wind is self-registering," which is, wind, of course, has always been a metaphor for inspiration, but also the sense of the wind inscribing itself upon nature, and that nature bears the trace of the most fugitive things, is both moving in its own right and perhaps all the more moving in the context of somebody who is losing his life.
Let's take a look at the journal, Edwin. There's a passage from December of 1842 when he anticipates moving to Walden Pond. Would you read it? It's on page 20, I think.
I want to go soon and live away by the pond, where I shall hear only the wind whispering among the reeds. It will be success if I shall have left myself behind. But my friends ask what I will do when I get there. Will it not be employment enough to watch the progress of the seasons? And then the next day he writes, I don't want to feel as if my life were a sojourn any longer. That philosophy cannot be true which so paints it. It is time now that I begin to live.
He says, it is time now that I begin to live, but he chooses to live away from civilization and companionship in order to do so.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, this is, Thoreau is in a way a deeply private person, and again, one of the interests of the journal is to see a deeply private person reckoning with himself. But at the same time, it is a contemplative journal at a certain level, and so it is, in some sense, both personal but also impersonal, an effort to try and find in nature a mirror in which a mirror on which to dwell, which is Elizabeth Bishop. Anyway.
In that passage, he says he's rejecting one philosophy, but he's taking up one of his own. Mm-hmm. What do you think is Thoreau's philosophy, Edwin? It's respect for and worship of nature?
Well, again, it's interesting to see somebody working out his philosophy on a daily basis, because he is a philosopher who's, is he a philosopher? He is a thinker whose thought emerges both in the act of writing and in the act of observation. There's certainly a very basic thing is that it is a rejection of those things which are, in the world in general, considered marks of success. I mean, he's very consciously stepping away from worldly success of that sort. What he wants and finds in nature is more complicated, because he starts as somebody responding to Emerson's call to go back to nature, but for Emerson, nature is an abstraction, whereas for Thoreau, it's deeply, deeply concrete.
Wasn't he engaged in an experiment in living? He wanted to live this philosophy, not just talk about it?
Yeah, well, he wanted it to emerge through his life and as a form of experience rather than as theory.
Thank you, Edwin. I really appreciate your time.
Sure, thank you.
You've been watching ThoughtCast. I'm Jenny Atiyah. Thanks for joining us.